The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we are talking about lawns and gardens, and we have two friends from the Master Gardeners here in town. And so we're here to answer whatever questions you might have about lawns and gardens. And if you have questions about the Master Gardener program, well, we have some folks who can help you out with that as well. Carol Reese is with us today. Hey, Carol, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
Good to have you with us. You brought a friend with you.
This is Miss Peggy Nelson.
Hey, Peggy, how are you?
Debbie Nelson.
My apologies.
I'm well, thank you. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Well, let me ask you this. What got you interested in gardening, and what made you want to become a master gardener?
Oh, gosh. I grew up in West Tennessee. I spent the first 50 years of my life there, and it's really easy to grow things in West Tennessee. And I had, you know, my family loved to garden and loved to grow and can and cook and put things up. So I grew up with a love for all things lawn and garden. And after I retired from Nissan, I thought this is a great opportunity to learn more about gardening. And so I signed up for, applied for, and was lucky enough to be chosen for the Master Gardener program here in Rutherford County.
So things grow better in West Tennessee. What is sandy soil? Is that?
It is. It's more loamy. It's low country, and it's not as rocky. It's not as alkaline. The soil is not as alkaline as it is here. It's easier to break the ground. It's easier to maintain things there. They don't require, in my experience, as much vigilance to make them grow successfully as we see here in Middle Tennessee.
So have you made it past the challenges with our clay soil and the rocks?
Sometimes I do pretty well, and sometimes not so well. You know, to me, gardening, everything is an experiment. I mean, you follow the evidence-based literature that you find, but you also have to experiment with what works in your particular location, your particular soil, your particular gardening style.
So if you have are concerned, have you done well with tomatoes? I mean, if you can grow tomatoes, that's all people want.
Yes. I have actually been very successful with tomatoes.
Okay.
I do find, though, that people do love tomatoes and corn.
Carol, why are you laughing at that?
Some days I'm good and some days I'm bad.
Okay, this is a bad. Yeah, I remember people had such strong feelings about the tomato plants.
Yes.
I mean, this was a personal issue.
And fights as to who's going to get the first tomato, and starting in a greenhouse. So by the July the 4th, you had
tomatoes.
Yes. And that was in Virginia. So the season's a little bit delayed.
Now the farmer's market, any of them doesn't matter. You know, the produce only one, over at the Lane Agri Park. The one downtown, the one in Smyrna, there are tomatoes, and people grow them in their, I guess, hothouses.
Yes, you can pick up if you have a row cover, a greenhouse. You can pick a greenhouse. You pick up quite a few degrees of heat, but you can pick up 10 degrees just with a row cover.
So is that the secret, getting it good and hot in there?
Everybody's got a different secret. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then we can't tell, you won't tell us yours.
I'm not that successful. Well, Debbie's probably much more successful than I.
Honestly, I think the best thing a person can do if they want to grow a specific vegetable or flower very well is use the evidence-based research we have available. And the Rutherford County Extension Office has a website, and their phone numbers, of course, are readily available. And interested people can call in and talk to agents. The University of Tennessee has a horticultural site, UT Hort, that they can go on and search for any particular fruit, vegetable, flower, tree, and learn a lot about trials that have been conducted with these specific varieties, and how they've been the most successful in growing and maintaining those.
Okay. We have a question here, and this person says that they love to grow exotic plants, or they have a desire to grow exotic plants. They don't say they love to grow them, because they say that they've tried it a few times and have had some issues, mainly with banana trees. Do you have any master gardeners who do
banana
well?
Banana trees will grow outside here.
They will.
Yeah, they will.
Is
and
that
a lot of times
it's
they'll
getting
survive.
Warmer? Or is that...
I've noticed a weather trend that's a little bit warmer, but I don't know what the overall trend will be. But bananas okay. will. I don't know that they'll ever survive long enough in the summertime to bear fruit. In Mississippi, they did bear fruit.
So you'll just have the tree.
Yes. Well, a lot of people like to put those types of plants around their swimming pools, around their outdoor spaces, so they feel more tropical.
Okay. Well, I know there's a person, now that this person has mentioned a banana tree in particular, I've seen banana trees and some palm trees.
Yes.
Well, a person over on Rivers, over by Riverdale High School. What is that street?
I'm not sure.
Whatever it is. But there's a guy who has them all over his yard.
And there's somebody that has a pool over by the Ag Center on... John Rice Boulevard.
Okay.
That has a bunch of bananas outside. And I have seen people that put palm trees in containers and move them in and out during the wintertime so that they never get frosted to the point. And I have planted exotic plants just because I like them so much. Mm-hmm. And I know they're going to die in the wintertime. I plant them anyway. So, saggy palms. I love saggy palms. But I'm not digging those up and bringing them in. They'll kill me.
So that would be, what, hundreds of pounds, 200-300 pounds?
Well, sometimes people, I've seen it where they do put them in containers big enough to be moved with a forks, you know, a machinery.
Whatever those are called. But I don't have one of those. You probably have one.
I do.
Do you really?
I have a tractor, yes.
Okay. I thought you were pulling my leg there.
No, I do, but I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I do have a tractor, but I don't have a place to put the plant in the wintertime.
Okay. So. Well, you would have to have a big indoor, because it has to stay, I guess, 70 to 80 degrees.
Yeah, a greenhouse, a hothouse. Hoop houses will give you 10 to 15, well, 10. You guaranteed 10 extra degrees in a hoop house.
I've never heard that word before. A
hoop house. That's a. You know how you have hoops over your garden to prevent pests and to maintain a moisture and heat level in your garden bed.
Right.
Well, a hoop house you walk in and you have the same thing.
Okay. More and more. It sounds like people are getting pretty sophisticated.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen them in Virginia. I saw where they grew papayas in one, and overwintered it without additional heat. And I don't want to compare Virginia, Tennessee. That was a long time ago, but that was part of my extension education.
Are papayas pretty easily grown here in Tennessee?
They were. Well, I don't know. I've never tried to grow them here.
You haven't tried them. Okay. It seems like there was a tree or a plant similar to that, and we used to talk about it in high school. It wasn't papaya.
It might have been a mango.
Wasn't a mango, but it tastes like bananas.
A pawpaw.
Pawpaw.
Pawpaw trees,
that's
which
it.
Are native.
Yeah. Are those?
Have you ever eaten a pawpaw?
I have.
How are they?
They're good. They have large seeds, but they are delicious.
Did you cultivate it, or
did it
grow wild?
I found it hiking. It's because they are native trees, and you can find them. And there are people who grow them. There are some of the master gardeners who have them in their landscape and do very well with them.
And do they really taste like bananas?
They really do taste very similar to bananas. They're very creamy. The flesh is very creamy tasting, and it has definitely makes you think about a banana.
Excellent.
I've heard people talk about making bread and pudding and things of that?
I have heard of pawpaw pudding, but I don't know anything about it. Bread is a new concept to me, but yeah. I can't imagine that it wouldn't be good.
Oh, I've never had a pawpaw, but you're not the only one who said they are so good.
They are very good.
Didn't the Tennessee tree people offer that in the tree giveaway or tree sale this spring? Didn't they offer pawpaws at one time? I think they did.
I've never heard that.
I'm not sure.
I've never heard somebody giving them away.
Well, we used to have a giveaway, and now you pay a couple dollars for a tree, the Tennessee Tree Day in the spring. I think it's in April.
At the Earth Day, is that the one where they give away the saplings, the little...
It might be this... No, it's a couple weeks before. It's a week or two before.
But
excuse my ignorance. That's in the past. I'm only paying attention to the future.
So people are out there growing them. It's not just wild, then.
No, correct. Absolutely not.
But they are a native tree to Tennessee, right. So you can find them just randomly in areas, sometimes along fence lines, because mm-hmm. birds like to eat them, and they drop the seeds on the fence.
Right.
So you may find them in multiple areas, in fields and woods.
We took a trip down to West Tennessee to Real Foot Lake, and we're on a boat going around Real Foot Lake, and the guide was pointing out things, and we were right, it was marshy, and we were right up into the trees. He said, now those are pawpaw trees, and he went on about it and talked about how great they tasted and all of this and how they grew wild in many places.
Yes, so, they're delicious.
So was it in West Tennessee where you got
yes.
them? I wonder
yes.
if they're more prevalent there, or are they here too?
Was it a damp area where you saw them?
No, it was the Real Foot Lake, yeah. You know, that's yeah.
Where was it that you saw it? Damp or along a stream bed? Or?
It was hiking through the woods, so okay. It was just in a woodsy area.
So it's dry and wet. You can have them either place.
Correct.
Okay. And are they?
I would guess, I'm not an expert on pawpaws. I would say people just should maybe go to a nursery center mm-hmm. that is well-stocked with fruits and vegetable or fruit trees, and talk to one of their experts. They could also check in with the extension agents here in Murfreesboro if they're interested in pawpaws, and they could give them more information.
Here's a listener who's asking, where would you go to buy a pawpaw? Is it a tree? Is that what it is?
It is a tree. Mm-hmm. It's a native tree.
So you'd buy that and plant it. Wonder if this is the time of the year, or is there a bad time of year to plant a
all
pawpaw?
Woody material is best planted in the fall, either early spring or fall. And the reason for that is when you have a tree or a shrub, the roots will continue to develop through the winter whenever the temperature is conducive to that or the moisture conditions are conducive to that. But you don't have the stress of extra heat or trying to maintain leaves. The roots will continue to develop, but the tree will continue to grow, but underground as long as you're mm-hmm. above freezing.
Here's a question. This listener says, I am tired of hearing everybody talk about how delicious tomatoes are, how fun they are to grow. I have never grown them. Can I grow them now? Is it too late to plant them?
No, not at all.
Oh, so you just made somebody happy.
Yeah, I hope so.
So what is the planting time?
You can plant now. Anytime that the soil temperature is above 70 degrees, you can plant tomatoes. It's a vine. There's indeterminate and determinate. If I was going to plant a tomato at this time, and I don't really think it's late, but I think if I wanted it for canning or just to eat off of in a big way, I would go with a determinate, which means the plant is going to grow to a certain point, throw off a lot of fruit, and then continue to grow, but most of the fruit. An indeterminate is a vine that just continues to grow, set fruit.
Along the ground?
Depends on whether you have it on the sport or not.
I've always thought tomatoes grew up.
They do, but it's technically the plant is a vine. So if you let it grow, eventually it will get heavy enough to go to the ground.
But so it's okay.
That's why you use tomato cages.
Is it okay to put it on the ground? Like
no.
Nature?
No.
Okay.
No.
What would be the negative on that? Why would people
most
not?
Most soil-borne diseases come from the ground, which is why you trim the leaves up from the ground so that those soil-borne diseases don't get a hold.
Okay. So this is to reduce disease in your tomatoes.
Yes, and tomatoes are typically bred to resist diseases. At least your the current tomatoes are bred to resist diseases. When you buy a disease now, you look for the numbers or the letters VFN, which is resistance to viruses and Fusarium wilt and something else. But that now your heirlooms don't resist diseases as well, but they taste so good. So you just got to balance it out.
So if you do an heirloom, which you're going to get a better taste, you say,
but that's an individual call.
Okay.
I love Cherokee purples.
Cherokee
that's purple. my favorite, Cherokee purple. I don't know what your favorite is, but I love Cherokee purple.
Now, what are you from Tennessee?
No, sir.
Okay, you're from West Virginia.
No, sir.
Where are you from?
I worked for the National Park Service. I traveled around quite a bit. So.
Oh, okay. So you had a variety of soils in your lifetime.
Yes, I did. I had 2-foot loam. I had desert sand. I had delta in Mississippi, and I had sandy soil in Virginia, and now I'm here.
I have always heard, and maybe you can straighten me out on this, I've heard that if you have dark soil, states and areas that have dark soil, they really, I mean, that's the best farming soil you could have. Is that true?
In my mind, it is. The darkness of the soil is typically indicative of organic material, humus, which would lend itself to more rich soil. But you can get a lot of nutrients out of clay. I know that a lot of people will disagree, but if you there's a process by which if you add organic material to a clay soil, it will release the nutrients contained within it.
So you add what do you
organic
add to it?
You add mulch, you add manure, composted manure, you add compost.
You know, that's just opposite from what I thought I had heard. Reason I say that, it seems like whenever we're told about planting something in our soil here, which is clay, a lot of clay in it, they say don't mix it with other soils.
You don't mix clay with sand.
With sand.
You never mix clay with sand. That's how you get concrete.
Okay. So I don't know if we answered the caller's question about growing tomatoes, mm-hmm. but the typical time to plant tomatoes is early to mid-May, but it's just the first week in June. So the important thing is if they're going to buy a plant or if they're going to start seeds, at this point, it would be recommended to buy a plant.
Buy a plant.
And okay. Then also look at, on the tag that comes with the plant, it should explain how many days typically to production of fruit. You would want to know that because tomatoes like a lot of sun, they like hot weather. And when it gets into the late fall, they don't do so well. Their life starts to end unless you're going to put them in a hoop house or a greenhouse or take them in to try to overwinter them. So I would say gather your information about how many days you have until the first frost, and then look at the information provided with the tomato plant and determine, do I have enough time to actually expect to produce tomatoes before the weather gets too cold?
So you say they love sunlight.
They love sunshine. They like hot weather.
So
they,
try to put it where there are no shade trees.
They need to be in a really sunny spot, and they do really well when the weather gets warm.
So there you go. You have time to plant and enjoy tomatoes.
Also, on the question on pawpaw trees, they mm-hmm. are available. There are nurseries who have them. And so the caller could call the local nurseries to determine if they have them. And if not, then they could look online to search for nurseries that have pawpaw trees. And as Carol said, typically the rule is if it's going to produce fruit in the spring or summer, you want to plant it in the fall. And if it's going to produce in the fall, you want to plant it in the spring or summer. And then there the question about the soil, one thing I want to add is that every county that has an extension office offers soil sampling services. So the caller can collect soil from their property. And there's the process is well established. The extension's office have the instructions, the forms. The cost is minimal. And they can get a report back from the state once the soil is analyzed. And based on what they say in the form they fill out that they would like to grow, they can then get a report back that tells them what they might need to add to their soil to improve their chances of being successful.
Sounds good. And I think while we're talking about the pawpaws trees right now, we need to right now, and Carol, we can boldly go out and say, I think the Master Gardeners should have a contest of who can make the best pudding or whatever you would like to make from pawpaw.
All we have to do is find a source of pawpaws.
And then the three of us need to be the judges.
All right. All right.
And then we could do that later on with
and then we can compete with all the people that are doing the banana puddings out there.
We will do all those, and we won't charge a thing to be your judge. We're going to pause for just a moment, and we'll be back. More gardening ideas. It is that time of the year. This is the gardening state. I mean, we have it all over New Jersey. I mean, they say they're gardening. To me, that's a cold place up there. We'll be right back.
WGNS, Murfreesboro. Weekdays 7 to 2, 7:00 a.m.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. I'm always one of those that goes on and off diets. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. And you know, Demas is one of the things that I started doing because of my own eating habits is we have a low-calorie menu and a low-carb menu. So depending on whatever diet that you like, we have options for you that are available at Demas's. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for, you know, guitars, keyboards, drums. We have lessons for anything with strings, mandolin, guitar, bass, you name it. We have lessons for anything with keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, and a professional drum teacher as well. So if you need to learn to play something, we have you covered. Come on in, buy you an instrument, start learning today. At Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Mostly sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 59. Friday, sunshine, a high around 83 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 77.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Did you know we specialize in commercial and fleet business? We're equipped to handle all of your company's automotive needs. Download our Tire World app today for free oil changes and electronic coupons. Come by today for all of your automotive needs. Online at tireworld.us.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM, overnight, every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
We are back, having more fun than the law should allow. Happy birthday to Sean Wright, our birthday winner today. He gets that delicious banana pudding from our friends at the Slick Pig Barbecue. And Pat Bowling Whitaker. I think you all know Pat. Used to be with the Ag Center. She's retired. Pat is our good neighbor of the day today. And Pat receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts over on South Academy Street. Whenever you're needing the perfect gift or, you know, a little something to say, hey, we appreciate you, send flowers or coffee or some of the goodies from our friends over there at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Once again, Pat Bowling Whitaker, our good neighbor today. We are talking lawns and gardens this morning, and our friends from the with outstanding group, the Master Gardeners, are with us this morning. Debbie Nelson and Carol Reese. Is it too late to, if somebody's really interested in becoming a Master Gardener, what do they need to do?
You can call the Ag Center. Or, mm-hmm. Well, they'll start taking applications in the fall. Usually around October, they'll take applications for the 2025 Master Gardener program. The program is comprised of 40 hours of classroom education, 40 hours of volunteer work before you're certified, and you complete January, February, March, April, into April, weekly classes that are science-based from UTTSU. The classes are held out at the Ag Center. It's volunteer-orientated, science-orientated, and you can register through the Ag Center in October.
Okay, so be aware of that.
Yes, we also have classes that are called Garden Basics for people that don't want to commit that much time or that much effort at this time, maybe in the future. Garden Basics classes, you can register for those if you contact the Ag Center. The number, excuse me for plugging my number, but 615-898-7710. That'll be Garden Basics class. This year they run from the end of September to almost the end of October. So they start 9/26, but you want to get into those classes a little earlier. Those classes cost $50.
Now, is it too late to get in? You said they begin end of September.
It's not too late.
So you can do that.
Yeah.
Now. Okay.
Yeah, that's Garden Basics. It's $50. You get excellent education offered by the UT and the ag agents there and some master gardeners, but it's not as time-consuming as the Master Gardener class. Master Gardener class, is wonderful, but that you'll start taking applications in October.
Now, at the Ag Center, the Lane Agri Park, which is where the farmer's market is on
yes.
Tuesdays and Friday mornings, 7 until noon.
Yes.
You have gardens all around. You have trails.
We have the best gardens.
Okay, brag about them.
I'm going to let Miss Debbie, because she's in charge of a program there called Walks and Talks. I'm going to let her explain that part.
Okay.
So we do have a big variety of demonstration gardens out at the Lane Agri Center. We have rain gardens.
Now, what is a rain garden?
A rain garden is a demonstration of all the plants that you can grow in a very wet area, in drainage areas, and it also helps you understand how to control the flow of water on your landscape and to help control erosion. We have a vegetable garden that's phenomenal. It shows multiple ways to grow vegetables in our environment here in Rutherford County. We have small fruit gardens that has typical small fruits, blackberries, blueberries, and different varieties of those. We have a perennial garden that is growing multiple perennial plants, both natives and non-natives. We have also a herb garden. We have a butterfly garden. There's just tons of different types of gardens out there with lots of great information. Most all of the plants are labeled as to what their names are. And people can do more research if they want to based on the names, if they love the way a plant looks and they want to know more about it. On the Tuesdays and Fridays when we have the Rutherford County Farmers Market out at the Lane Agriplex, we have master gardeners on site from 9 a.m. to noon who are out in the pavilion area, and they will do a walk and talk with any visitor who's interested through the demonstration gardens and answer their questions, explain a little bit about the gardens. And on some Fridays, we have special presentations at 9 a.m. and 10:30 that are either delivered by our extension agent, who's the coordinator of the Master Gardener program, Justin Stefanski, or some of our expert master gardeners. And in June, on the 21st, which is a Friday, the presentations will be about tomatoes. So people who have called in and shown an interest in tomatoes, if they want to come to the Lane Agri Center, to the pavilion that's across the street from the building where the farmer's market is held, mm-hmm. at 9 a.m. and at 10:30, there will be a special presentation about tomatoes and an opportunity to ask and have questions answered.
Okay, now what is that date again about?
June the 21st, which is a Friday, at 9 a.m. and at 10:30. It will, at the pavilion area across from the farmer's market building, there will be a special presentation about tomatoes.
Okay, listener is sending us a question here. They say that they've enjoyed several of your talks at the Lineball Library. Are those finished for the year? Are there any more?
No, they are still going on. It's a first Saturday series that goes on through November. So every first Saturday of the month, there will be someone there presenting on a topic through November.
Okay. Any idea what this month's talk is on?
I'm sorry, I do not know, but I might be able to find out.
Okay.
So if you want to, we can come back to that.
All right. She's going to check the website and see if we can find that out. What is the biggest thing going on right now with the Master Gardeners? I guess Farmer's Market and the talks.
Farmer's Market is a large item. We have been, that rain garden especially has been featured in one of the state magazines. It is a wonderful experience. There's two rain gardens, and when the water comes out of those rain gardens, it's pretty clear. It goes right into the pond.
So now, is that for people who have ponding in their yards?
It would be one of the things that helps.
What would some more uses of a rain garden?
Well, rain garden plants will pull pollutants, not all pollutants, but they'll pull heavy metals out of your drainage water and incorporated them into their leaf structure. So it cuts down on your pollution in your water, in your ponds, in your water areas dramatically.
I had somebody tell me a while back, they live in an area that is prone to flooding.
Yes.
And they said that they're not worried about it anymore because they're planting certain plants that will help control the water. And I thought, I hope you're right, because how did we suddenly get all of this knowledge that we didn't have 20, 30, 40 years ago when people were becoming victims of the rising water? I mean, and does it really work?
Yes.
It does work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Come out during a heavy rain and see.
Okay. Now, here's another listener.
I mean, I don't mean to make you go out in the
rain.
No,
that's true. This person says, I want to attract hummingbirds. My neighbors have hummingbirds, and I think they're fascinating to watch. Will the butterfly garden, if I put one of those in, will that attract hummingbirds?
If you plant plants that are preferable to hummingbirds, yes.
So butterflies and hummingbirds are different.
The plant that grows up the trees, it's got the big tubular, your honeysuckle, especially your native honeysuckle, not necessarily the imported honeysuckle. The native honeysuckle is a coral color. The other honeysuckle is a yellow and a white. Anything that's got a tubular structure, your salvias, your pineapple sages, anything that the flower's got a tubular structure that hummingbird can get that beak in there and harvest the nectar out of the inside of that plant. Hummingbirds also eat bugs in the spring, especially when they're migrating. So anything that's going to do that. I don't have a list of hummingbird friendly plants, but
would the Lane Niagara Park, if you went over there and said, I'm trying to attract
especially if you went and talked to the folks in the butterfly garden or the perennial garden on a Tuesday or a Friday, they could probably give you a detailed listing.
That is amazing, by the way. We were over there the other day to go to the farmer's market, and there was so much activity at each garden. I mean, it was like a school field day.
It
was exciting.
Yeah.
The pond is still down, water-wise.
Yeah, I don't know why. Do you know why?
I have no idea. Sorry.
So that's okay. Just makes it a little rough to do fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't have the information on the Lineball Library series, but I will be sure to get that and get that back to you.
Very good. People are really excited. When the weather starts getting the way it is now, this is what brings people out. And we've had a lot of people talk about they've had rough days at work, and you get out and you just leave the worries behind.
Yes. And, so, and our hope is that that space just only becomes more welcoming mm-hmm. to people between the cultivated gardens and the walking paths and maybe trees and things that bring a green space to a...
Now, have you found some of the members in the Master Gardeners who have a job that creates a lot of tension and everything?
Yes.
Do they get into this because of that? This is an outage. I'm not an out.
A lot of time the people that are attracted to the Master Gardener, because it is somewhat time-consuming, mm-hmm. Are retired. But yes, it is somewhat time-consuming, but it is a stress relief. Pulling a weed is a stress relief. Planting a plant is a stress relief.
So are you glad you did it?
Always. Always. I've been a Master Gardener for 20 years.
So you love it?
I love it.
Okay. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I have. I was in the class of 2022, even though I've been gardening since I was a young child with my grandmother, and I really enjoy it. And I think that anything that you love to do gives you some relaxation. And I think most of the Master Gardeners that we have in Rutherford County love to garden, and they love different types of gardening. A lot of the Master Gardeners don't like to grow vegetables. They like to grow flowers. There's a lot of Master Gardeners that like to grow vegetables and don't like to grow flowers. And they then there are those of us who like to grow as many things as we can. And I think scratching in the dirt and digging in the soil is very cleansing to the mind and the soul.
Here's a listener who says, I have problems sometimes getting around as well as I used to years back, and sometimes I'm a little sore doing it, but I love to do things outside. Would I be suitable for the Master Gardener program?
Well, absolutely.
I think get more information from the Extension office about the Master Gardener program. We have lots of members that are well past retirement age that are still very active. We have lots of members with different physical abilities, and they still find ways to work in the things that they're passionate about. And we have lots of examples in the garden areas of ways to elevate things to make it easier for people who maybe don't bend, squat, and stoop as well as they did in the past. But I think understanding about the Master Gardener program, the educational commitment, and the volunteer hour commitment is really important before someone makes the decision. We also have the Garden Basics class that they could take and learn more about gardening, and that it's not as in-depth, but there's also not that volunteer component tied to that.
We're talking this morning about the Master Garden program, and we're talking about it at a time that everybody's really looking forward to go outside. Doesn't take too many excuses to say, I want to go plant this or I want to plant that. Now we've put pawpaws on everybody's list, so you're going to have to plant some pawpaws. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Rutherford County, it's Rick and Bubba, and we are pumped to be on WGNS. Be sure to join us weekdays noon till 2 right here.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come and see us for all your gardening, home, and farm needs. We have a great selection of clothing, farm items, and also our wonderful gift department. Please come see us for all your gift items. And we also have local honey. And if you're interested in being a beekeeper, we do have supplies for that. We have from hives to suits to whatever you need to take care of those bees. We're located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. More people depend on WGNS for local news that matters. We're your local news leader. News Radio WGNS.
We are back again. Final segment, so if you have a question for the Master Gardeners, you need to get it to us quickly. Have just a few minutes left. The text number, 615-893-1450. That's it, 615-893-1450. Let me mention this. We've already given away our birthday goodies today, and we've just gotten two more birthday entries in. I'll save those till tomorrow. We'll make it a delayed birthday or something. Sorry about that. It's that part of the show's history. This person's asking about the raised bed gardens. Are you limited to the types of plants that you can put into a raised bed garden? They say, I have a zero property line house, and I don't have any room for a big garden.
I have a large raised bed garden, and I live in a subdivision. I'm not in a zero lot line subdivision, but I have a large raised bed garden. And for me in Middle Tennessee, I'm much more successful with raised bed gardening because I have complete control of the soil. There is nothing that I am familiar with that you cannot grow in a raised bed garden as far as a vegetable plant or a flower. I would not be so bold as to say you could grow trees in a raised bed garden, but certainly I grow tomatoes, summer and winter squashes, herbs, onions, garlic, peppers, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, all of those, and as well as herbs.
Now, you said you're in control of the soil.
Yes, you control the mixture of your soil, which you can do that no matter how you're gardening. But you have a pure in your raised bed gardens, because you are putting all of the soil in there, you have a pure palette that you create based on what you want to plant, because certain things like tomatoes may like a soil that's very different than onions, than garlic, than peppers, or squashes. So you can really build the profile of your raised beds to make you more successful with what you're going to plant.
So now you're from West Tennessee originally.
Yes.
And you said you grew up growing things in the soil that had sand and stuff like that.
Well,
so you could make your raised bed garden like that.
Absolutely.
And if you could get some dark soil if you're from Texas or something. Texas, that's what I remember. That soil is black.
Texas is pretty large. I imagine there's quite an array of soils.
Well, yeah, but at least the part around Dallas where we were. And I hear, I haven't looked at this, but the soil up in Michigan, in that area, somebody said it was real. Very good soil.
I read a book once that said the soils in Ohio before it was developed were 24 inches deep. You could put your hand in 24
really?
Inches deep. Yeah, primarily leaf mold, leaf loam.
So anything grows there? Is that
at that time?
on Tuesdays and Fridays, there are always master gardeners in the vegetable garden, which uh-huh. has lots of different types of raised beds. So the caller might want to visit them between 9 and noon on Tuesday and Friday. And there will be a master gardener out there doing the walk and talk that can walk over with them and talk to them about raised bed gardening and all the different options that they have. Because people, there are wheelchair gardens that are developed like a table,
mm-hmm.
but it's a raised bed garden.
Now, I have not seen the raised bed. Where is that?
It is directly, if you're standing and facing the pavilion, it is to the right of the pavilion, the vegetable garden is. And it's very easy to identify now because there are tomato plants and squash plants and cucumbers and beans and so a broccoli and Brussels sprouts. So it's easy to say, oh, those are vegetables.
And again, you said you can raise just about anything in them.
Yes, absolutely. I have a raised bed strawberry garden.
So just anything that it's limited by your imagination.
Yes, and the Extension office will have great resources and great information if somebody wants to get into raised bed gardening.
Very good. We have about a minute and a half left. I don't want to take it on up to the end, but is there anything we've left out?
I would like to mention that there's going to be a turf class lawn care academy at the Ag Center put on by Mitchell Moat. Contact the Ag Park to register for that. It starts August the 15th. It's a weekly session, August 15th, 22, 29, and September the 5th. That'll teach you how to take care of your lawn. The time to plant fescue lawns will be this fall.
Yes.
And it's a turf grass. I think Carol said turf class, but it's a turf grass class, lawn care class. And Mitchell does a great job. I took that last year, and it was fantastic.
Mitchell does a phenomenal. He's the guy who does the plots of grass out front for you to walk
through.
Exactly
right.
That's another thing to look at if you go to the Ag Center, is the comparison of different grasses growing in the front of the building.
Very good.
We also have public gardens that Justin Stefanski, the ag agent, has established with people from other classes. You can see how well they're growing.
Fantastic. And just as we thought would happen, the phones are ringing off the walls all of a sudden. But unfortunately, we are flat out of time. We want to say a special thank you to our master gardeners, Debbie Nelson and Carol Reese, for sharing their experience with us this morning. Have a super day.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.